It's episode 587 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. On today's show, I'm talking about a Rangers win, a Rangers winning streak, why the hype train for Jonah Heim is finally here, and why Andy Ibañez isn't playing, all that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers. Your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, a crippling Texas Rangers baseball addict since 2010. Here, the host of this Locked On Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're not already, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. Follow the show at Locked On Rangers and subscribe on YouTube, where we are getting closer to that 800 subscriber mark. This was a great game, a great win for the Rangers. Some Rangers on Ranger Suarez crime in this one. But first, this episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Rangers listeners get $50 off $500. Use code LOCKEDON at checkout. Now, let's talk about this 6-4 win by the Texas Rangers. A return from John Gray, who, as I've seen so far, I have not seen anything that says he is going on the injured list after the start. So, boom! Successful John Gray start. Three starts, only two IL stints. We might get a fourth. And hopefully he can go a little bit more than 60 pitches in this one. He wasn't super crisp. He had some good moments, but he allowed a lot of base runners in this one. He allowed five hits and one walk, three earned runs in this one, and just was able to go three innings. But the fact that he could go three innings was nice. That's about what I was hoping for from him. Brock Burke was able to come in and clean up and eat just quite a few innings, two and a third innings. He continues to look really good. I'm going to get into why, what is going right with this bullpen after such a disastrous start later on in the show. But he was fantastic in this one. Dennis Santana comes back and, you know, finishes it up, his, I believe, the sixth inning for him. Then we get John King, Matt Bush, and Joe Barlow, 7-8-9. I think that's going to be about how it's going to go in general, in an ideal situation. John King has been really dang good this year. Worked a shutout inning. Matt Bush allowed a solo shot from JT Realmuto, which, you know, will happen. He's been a little shaky as of late. He's got a 4.5 ERA, which isn't ideal, but his fastball spin rate is still way up there. And he also had a pair of strikeouts to work around. That was the only base runner that he had. He also struck out too. So Joe Barlow comes in, gets his second save of the season, which is, you know, it's great. It's great. Brock Burke continues to be very efficient. He worked he threw 28 pitches in his two and a third innings to allow a couple of base runners, actually three base runners if we're going to be technical and exact. But the Rangers scored first in this one. They were fantastic at scoring first. The last three games they have scored first, but since Saturday's game against the Braves, the Rangers hadn't scored first since the series against Toronto. That has been a worrying trend. When they score first, they have done very well. They have won more often than not, especially on this three-game winning streak. They have scored first in every single inning in those three games, so that definitely helps. What did not help was the three runs given up by the starter in the bottom of that first inning. Again, that was the roughest inning for John Gray. He settled down a little bit after that, but it didn't help. They had some not great defense by Nick Solak, trying to dive for a ball that he couldn't get to that got past him, that ended up scoring a pair on that double by Reese Hoskins. But, you know, they sent down Willie Calhoun because his defense wasn't great. Just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out there. Because he couldn't hit against righties and lefties, which, you know, he could. And the Rangers are pinch hitting a crap ton in this one. And just in general, in this season, I believe they lead the major leagues in pinch hits from pinch hitters. Because it's a weird way to phrase that. But it's because they're pinch hitting all the freaking time. In this one, they had three in a row. Three pinch hitters in a row. Nick Solak, Charlie Culberson, and Eli White were the 7, 8, and 9 hitters. And then later on in the, where do we go? In the 6th inning, yeah, three straight pinch hitters. Cole Calhoun comes on. Brad Miller comes on. Zach Rex comes on. Immediate righty-lefty switch. And the first two guys, Cole Calhoun and Brad Miller, in their next two at-bats, they both struck out twice. So 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts, literally as bad as you can do at the plate. Zach Rex was the only one who came up big, came up with a huge two-run insurance double that ended up being the final two runs that the Rangers would score, and gave the Rangers a cushion that they needed. The bullpen didn't have to worry too much. The bullpen only allowed the one run, just a solo shot. Just a solo shot in six innings of work. This bullpen continues to be absolute nails in this one. The Rangers didn't leave too many runners on. I mean, they did leave six on, but they hit just a little bit under 300 with runners in scoring position in 2-for-7. Another multi-hit game from Marcus Semien, who none of the hits were particularly hard. He did get an RBI because he was absolutely hustling out of the box. And I got to say this. This is really rough to watch Alec Bohm, play third base. This defense is as bad as advertised from Philadelphia, maybe even worse. He was only charged with one error in this one, but that play that Marcus Semien was absolutely busting out of the box. By the way, he's top 10% in sprint speed among MLB players, so that really, really helped him out and gave the Rangers an extra run and continued that inning as well. I believe, actually, that might have been the final run that the Rangers scored. Let me check. Yeah, that was the final run. Zach Rex provided the two-run double in the top of the sixth. The Rangers scored three in that inning to take a 6-3 lead over Philadelphia, and then Realmuto's second home run of the season on a full-count pitch from Matt Busch was the final run of the game in the bottom of the eighth, but no drama in the ninth. Perfect inning from Joe Barlow. But I gotta say, this is all about Jonah Heim. I'm gonna get into it much later, but Jonah Heim shows off his dad's strength, talked about how everyone was expecting him to get a home run because, you know, he's a new father, and that's just kind of what new fathers happen to do. We always make that dad strength joke because there's something to it. There's something to it. I don't know what it is specifically, but he comes in, has his third home run of the season. Another person who had a home run is DH Mitch Garver, an absolute moonshot. Both of these home runs were pretty well struck by both of these guys. Both of them was their third. Himes came off Ranger Suarez. Mitch Garver's also came off Ranger Suarez in the first inning, which provided that early offense. And yeah, some pretty good stuff from the Rangers offense in this one, scoring six runs. They continue to score well against Ranger Suarez, who is a guy who not only has the first name, same first name as the team he was playing against, but he's had mixed results this season. But last year, he was absolutely nails for the Phillies. He had a sub-2 ERA. He was just absolutely dominant. A sub-1.5 ERA, a 1.36 ERA in 106 innings. The guy was really dang good for the Phillies last year. And five starts this year, has a 4.63 ERA, and counting last night's start, not striking out nearly as many guys. He's got a really nice changeup, but some of the Rangers were able to put up some pretty darn good swings on that changeup and was able to get him out of the inning after five innings and get into a Phillies bullpen, which has shown some struggles. The Rangers were only able to get one run off the bullpen. Where'd it go? Yeah. But they did get five runs. Three of those were earned for him. A couple of home runs off Ranger Suarez. They did most of their damage early, piled on some insurance run late, which you absolutely love to see. And the Rangers were able to cruise to their third straight win. Now, can they close out a series win, a series sweep, and a five-game winning streak heading into New York to play the Yankees, who are white-hot? By the way, I'm going to have a crossover, I believe, on Friday. Might do it on Thursday. Probably going to be on Friday with Stacey Gottsoulias of Locked On Yankees to talk about how well they are doing and about my now-adopted large adult son and how well he's doing with the Yankees. But I'm going to get into this bullpen, who had a great game. What the heck is going right for them after a horrendous start to the season, if they can keep it up? But first, this episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. In case you didn't know, Mother's Day is coming up. It always sneaks up on you. And it's coming up on Sunday. So if you're looking for something great for your mom or for the mom in your life, you can go to BlueNile.com for some great fine jewelry, everyday jewelry. If you don't know what you're looking for, they've got experts on hand 24/7 to help you out with whatever you need. But if you're having trouble choosing, they're available through phone or chat. You can help you get a memorable Mother's Day gift. You know, you can get her something during a classic diamond stud earring, elegant tennis bracelet, pendants, and so much more at BlueNile.com. This Mother's Day, get mom something that she'll treasure forever. with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Rangers, they get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day, so you better hurry up and use that code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Thank you all so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Now make your Locked On Now your second listen of the day. It is recaps of every MLB game, NBA game, all kinds of great stuff on there. It'll take you around the league from listen to hosts like me and like Locked On Phillies and Locked On Yankees, whoever else you want. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's get into how this bullpen is succeeding. I went to look at some of the advanced numbers from this bullpen, and what I found was really weird and confusing, because a lot of these Rangers relievers, they're getting hit very hard. They're getting hit very hard, but they're still striking out a lot of batters and not walking a lot of people. Joe Barlow is the extreme. I went on a Baseball Savant to look at what his expected numbers are, and let's start with the good, because the good is very good. His strikeout rate is in the top 10% of pitchers. Walk rate, 88th percentile. Whiff rate, top 5%. But then you look at some of the other numbers. The expected batting average, bottom 20%. Expected slugging, bottom 1%. Expected ERA, bottom 2%. Average exit velocity, bottom 2%. Barrel percentage, bottom 1%. Expected WOBA, bottom 2%, and hard hit percentage, bottom 10%. How is this guy doing this? I don't understand. He was putting up kind of similar numbers last year. Again, it is a small sample size, but the guy's regular numbers are really good. They're really good. He has been very effective, even though he's only had his second save of the season. He's been really good. A 2.45 ERA, 7 and 3rd innings, and 10 strikeouts, only one walk. He does have two home runs. I feel like that might be skewing his numbers just a smidge. He has a 1.56 ERA plus. The rest of this Rangers bullpen has also been really dang good as well. An ERA plus of 1.93 from Brock Burke, sub 2 ERA in 14 innings, 21 strikeouts. He is second in all of Major League Baseball with those 21 strikeouts for a reliever, which is really, really nice to see. He's only pitched in 8 games. John King has a 2.53 ERA in 10 and two-thirds innings and 9 strikeouts, a 1.49 ERA plus. Matt Moore has been astonishingly good. You look at his ERA plus, where 100 is average. He's got 4.33. He has been so good. A 0.83 ERA in 10 and 3rd innings from him. Still has 9 walks in that time span. Don't love that. Would like for him to not walk at least around a batter an inning, but does have 13 strikeouts. And, you know, you look at some of these other guys. Look at Brett Martin and some of his advanced numbers. Average exit velocity, he's in the bottom third of the league. Expected batting average, bottom third of the league. K rate, walk rate, bottom third of the league. But his chase rate is in the top 7% of baseball. Fastball velocity, round middle of the pack. Whiff rate, 73rd percentile, like expecting batting average, hard hit, like all these around average, but he's still doing really, really well. Brock Burke had kind of a similar thing to Joe Barlow. Not quite as extreme. His hard hit percentage is in, you know, the 18th percentile, so, you know, bottom 20%. Chase rate, 23rd percentile. Whiff rate, 20th percentile. Barrel percentage, bottom third of the league. Expected slugging, bottom half. But his K rate, or his K percentage, is in the 95th percentile. I don't understand. His walk rate is in the top 20%. Fastball velo, the top 30%. And the fastball spin is about average. Like, I don't really know. It kind of feels like a lot of smoke and mirrors for this bullpen. I know I'm just throwing out a bunch of numbers here, but that's kind of what's there. But you look at John King, some of his numbers are a little bit better. The whiff rate, the walk rate, the K rate, the fastball velo, fastball spin, all of those are in the bottom third of the league, but you look at his expected slugging, that's in the top 3% of baseball. Barrel percentage, the top 10% of baseball. All those, it's kind of switched. Like, you're either really, really good at the not walking anybody and striking a bunch of people out and whiff rate and chase rate, or you're really good at not allowing a lot of hard contact, and that is what John King has succeeded at. His overall numbers aren't aren't as impressive as some of the other guys, but they're still solid. You know, 2.53 ERA in those 10 and third innings. Like, he's been solid. But then you look at, you know, Matt Bush, and he is kind of all over the place. He's really high in the whiff percentage. We're not walking guys. He's striking guys out pretty well. Guys aren't chasing as well, but what he's really excelling at is fastball spin rate. You know, his fastball velo is averaging 97, but he's in the top 2% of spin rate. So it's playing way, way up. And something that I don't think they're measuring with Brock Burke is what kind of a plane he is throwing this on. I mean, he is 6'4". He's got some really long arms. So by the time, and also extension. So like by the time he's actually throwing it, it is much closer to hitters. It gets right on them really quickly. And I think that's a big part of how he has done so well. Baseball Savant, I'm sure some other website, maybe just the advanced numbers that the Rangers have, are showing how he is able to do this so effectively, even though he's getting hit kind of hard and barreled quite a bit and not getting guys to whiff a whole bunch. I don't understand how he has a strikeout rate in the top 5% of baseball, but they're not chasing and they're not swinging and missing at it. It does not make sense to me, but I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. He's doing a really good job, and I think that he can keep this up because he is a really good pitcher. He is a really good pitcher, and he's finally getting his fair shot. Now, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to look at Jonah Heim, who has been absolutely dominating this season through however many games the Rangers have played. He's only played 11 of them, and a little bit at why Andy Ibañez isn't playing more. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You guys know about Built Bar. It's the best tasting candy bar on the market. They're absolutely delicious, and they are good for you. They are so fantastic. I literally just ordered myself some of the Churro Puffs. I'll wait to see how good those are, but if they're anything like the other Built Bar Puffs that I've eaten, they are going to be absolutely fantastic. Also ordered myself some Mint Brownie. Like, they are all so great, and they're so good for you. Most of them had 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, and it's just not even close. They are better tasting than a lot of candy bars, and they are so, so, so much better for you. Somehow they figure out how to make them taste good, and then they make them healthy. I don't know how they do it. Built Bar is fantastic. You got to go try them for yourself. If you want to, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now, it's time to start the Jonah Heim train. I tried to make it work. It did not work. But Jonah Heim has been fantastic for the Texas Rangers this season. According to Baseball Reference, he is their WAR leader at 1.0. Ahead of Corey Seager. Ahead of Nathaniel Lowe. And ahead of, in fourth place, Andy Ibañez, who also needs to play a little bit more. Andy Ibañez, I'm going to get into really quick. He's played 19 games so far this season, but I feel like there's been so many of them where he's been DHing. Even though he's been in the top 10 in the American League in defensive WAR, he has been really dang good at third base. I don't know why Charlie Culberson is playing at third base while they're DH Andy Ibañez. I mean, it's not like Charlie Culberson's been bad defensively at third base, but just Andy Ibañez has been so freaking good. They've both been pretty good, but Andy Ibañez has been another level. And his bat has not been as great as I would like it to, but it's not horrible. He's got a 652 OPS right now. His on-base is around 300, slugging around 350. Would like to see that be a little bit higher. Does have a home run on the season, unlike Cole Calhoun. Unlike, unfortunately, Marcus Semien, who, gosh, I really hope he gets one. And unlike Charlie Culberson. This guy needs to be playing a whole lot more. His defense has been fantastic. I swear, you spend one weekend with Adrian Beltre and you become an absolute defensive wizard at third base. I want Adrian Beltre to hang out with... I want Josh Young, while he's injured, just go, like, live with Adrian Beltre. Just go live there. Just go hang out. Be, like, his older adopted child. Help out around the house. Pick his brain about baseball. Just go hang out with him. I'm sure he'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure Adrian definitely doesn't have better things to do than to chaperone a, 22, 23-year-old kid and teach him about how to play baseball. But, yeah, give Josh Young a freaking weekend with Adrian Beltre and see if he can become a defensive wizard, because that's seemingly all it took. I'm sure there's a lot of – I'm not trying to discredit Andy Ibañez. He put in a lot of work to get much better defensively. It's not just, oh – spending one weekend with Adrian Beltre and his third base magic rubbed off. No, he has been getting much, much better defensively at second base, at third base, left field, all the places last year when he was getting his major league stint and crushing it on the way. And that is something that I was always worried about him. He's profiled as a DH-only guy, but he's become legit decent defensive player at second base, if not above average. And at third base, he's been really dang good, so I would like to see him play a lot more. Chris Woodward said he wanted to give him a fair shot to stick at that third base role, but he's DH-ing him, and he is pinch-hitting for him so much that he is not getting nearly the fair stick, even though he's playing 19 games. He's DH'd way too many of those for my liking. Maybe it's just my eyes, and every time I notice it, it registers, and so it's happening more, less often than I'm thinking. But still, I think he really needs to get a little bit more of a fair shake. But let's talk about the Jonah Heim MVP train. He has been fantastic for the Rangers this season. 11 games, 40 plate appearances. He's got a slash line of 364, 475, 697. That is a 1172 OPS for a guy who has been the backup catcher and has been fantastic. He got three home runs, hit his third, absolutely crushed it last night with that dad strength. You have to think maybe even more are coming. Two doubles for him so far this season. He's got an OPS plus of 247, and he has been fantastic. He doesn't have enough plate appearances to get in the Baseball Savant percentile rankings for everything else, but one of the few things that he's in there is he's got max exit velocity, 51st percentile, which is kind of wild. Sprint speed, bottom quarter of the league. That's about where he was. He's a catcher. It's fine. But framing, he's in the top 4% of catchers at framing pitches. He is stealing strikes left, right, and center. He has been fantastic defensively. And his bat has been amazing as well. And one of the things, I think he is the biggest poster child for if the Rangers want to go rah-rah about how well their new coaches are doing. He is the guy to show because he has been much better at all the things that the Rangers want to do well. He is walking significantly more. He is chasing outside the strike zone less. What he is fouling pitches off, and he is making contact. He is walking significantly more. It is incredible. His walk rate is up 12.2% from last year. The K percentage is down nearly 13%. He has been doing better at slugging, at hitting the ball in the sweet spot, barreling it. Hard hit percentage is up 12% from last year. Like, the guy has been crushing it in pretty much every metric you want him to. He's swinging a little bit more at the first pitch and getting strikes on it, getting good contact on it. He's just been much better in general as a hitter. And it's time to think about maybe getting him some more plate appearances. I mean, obviously he's outperforming. He's outperforming the big guy, Mitch Garver. There's no question about that. But Mitch Garver's ceiling, I really do think it's a lot higher than Jonah Heim. And I love Jonah Heim. And I love the fact that, to be careful with Mitch Garver, they are getting Jonah Heim some pretty consistent plate appearances as a backup catcher. But I don't know if it's just a small sample size, and that's what it is. But it's almost time to start thinking about maybe DHing Jonah Heim and just splitting DH and catcher. Whichever one's not catching is going to DH in Mitch Garver and Jonah Heim, because his bat has been that freaking valuable. He's leading the Rangers by far in OPS. He's second in home runs. I guess he's tied for third because Corey Seager and Elvis Garcia are both tied at fourth, but he is tied with Mitch Garver with those three home runs. And he has been absolutely crushing it. I love that for him. He was the big return in the Elvis Andrews trade. Much respect to Elvis Andrews, but I don't know. I didn't think that he was going to make the roster opening day, and I was not seeing what the Rangers were seeing. I was still a little bummed about Jose Trevino, and I'm still bummed about Jose Trevino because I love that guy. But I am glad that he is getting his fair shot. The Rangers are going to see him this weekend when they go to face off against the Yankees, who is now, you know, I don't know, they're trying to emulate the Baltimore Orioles, as in just get a whole bunch of Rangers players that I like and are better than people give them credit for. They've done that with three of them now, with Jose Trevino and IKF and Joey Gallo. They also have Ronald Guzman. I don't know if he made their major league roster. I don't think he's going to play that much with how freaking well Anthony Rizzo is playing at the moment. But it's time to start thinking about the Jonah Heim full-time DH/catcher and getting him some more plate appearances. Maybe it's just a small sample size talking, but this guy has been incredibly good and he deserves a lot of love, and I have not given him nearly as much appreciation as I should for how well he has started this season. I would like to see more of him. I did not think that'd be something that I was saying about a month ago, but man, he has been the Rangers' best player at this point, which is absolutely incredible. I don't know if that trend's going to hold, But he's proven himself. This is not nothing. This is a major league caliber player, which we already knew. But this is a pretty decent backup catcher if he is putting up these kind of numbers. If he can sustain anywhere near this production, then he might really start thinking about challenging Mitch Garver for that starting spot. And, you know, he might make the Rangers think, okay, maybe that's Sam Huff. Maybe he can wait in the minors just a little bit longer. I don't know. But this has been a great start to the season for him, a great start to the season. Well, I guess a great last couple of weeks for the Rangers bullpen. We'll see if those numbers kind of average out. I think the home runs kind of skew it just a little bit. That might be what it is in small sample size. But their baseball savant numbers look really weird, but also promising. That is nice to see. It's really nice to see for a Rangers bullpen that I was super, super duper concerned about for the first month of the season. The Rangers can keep scoring first. The Rangers can keep putting up these amazing bullpen performances, especially in games where their starter does not go very long into the game, just like John Gray did in this one. The Rangers might have themselves a half-decent baseball team on their hands, and that would be a whole, whole, whole lot of fun to watch. I'll be back tomorrow to talk about this Martin Perez versus Zach Wheeler game, see if the Rangers can continue their winning streak, and then I'll be back on Friday to talk with Stace Gotsoulias of Locked On Yankees about my larger adult son, Joey Gallo, also the other former Rangers, and how the Yankees have been absolutely brutalizing everybody, and if the Rangers can put a stop to that winning streak. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. For your next listen, go make it Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully. He gives you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Y'all, thank you so much for listening, and until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.